A production of SDPB, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House State Affairs Committee, please come to order. I'd like to welcome all of you here today. I came to join our enjoyable little group and remind you that this would be the time when your cell phones should be turned to the off or vibrate position. And also a reminder that if you're going to testify today, we ask that you please sign in at the podium in the back of the room between the doors. Registered lobbyists will need to have their badges in place when they come to testify. And also we ask that if you have any handouts, you distribute those through our pages. Today we have Tracy Gebhardt from Sioux Falls. And are you Elizabeth?
Tracy.
You're Tracy? Okay, welcome Tracy and Elizabeth. Malik from Aberdeen. Where's Elizabeth? She's already working. All right, that's quite all right. We also greet the folks that are listening live as this committee is broadcast via the internet this morning, and remind all of you that any testimony that you or I may give here today is going to be broadcast live and archived forever and ever. With that, we would ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Representative Boomgarten.
Here.
Ingalls.
Here.
Feinstein.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Lust.
Here.
Rausch.
Here.
Rave.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Turberville.
Here.
Noam.
Here.
Fain.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. With that, I'd look for a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Motion by... Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. I'll just mention in advance today that we had a bit of an error on House Bill 1226. I've been asked to schedule that bill for next week, and I forgot until I had already put it on here. So we are, in fact, going to be deferring 1226 till the 18th when we get to that. Also, House Bill 1217, the second one on the agenda, will be deferred until the 23rd of February. So I thought I'd let anyone know who may be here for those that we aren't going to be hearing them today. With that, we'll take up House Bill 1187 to provide for legislative redistricting based on a Senate of 25 members. Are there any proponents for House Bill 1187? Good morning, Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have before you an interesting bill, House Bill 1187. I'd like to share with you briefly, and I'm going to save you the pains of going very in-depth, but I'd like to share with you briefly why I've brought this bill. Earlier in session, excuse me, there was some discussion. There was a proposal being floated as to how we might cut our legislative expenditure so as to share in some of the, quote, pain, if you will, that we're experiencing with regard to our fiscal state of affairs. The proposal at that time was to cut a few hundred dollars from legislators' pay. And I was back home visiting with some people, and I said, you know, under our Constitution, we're required to have a legislature consisting of 25 to 35 districts. And I said, of course, as is with or so often the case with government, the legislature is as large as it can be. And I said, there would be a way to save real dollars as opposed to just a few, and that would be to take a look at ourselves and to cut back. Over the next week and a half or so, one of the things that really compelled me to bring this, having already thought about the concept, one of the things that compelled me to bring this, and I apologize if I'm treading too closely to anybody's turf as far as their philosophy goes, but I heard people out there talking about the size of our county governments and the size of our, or the number of schools in the aggregate. And I said, you know, some of these people want to consolidate everybody else. And I think it's only appropriate that if we feel that it's okay to talk about consolidating counties from here in Pierre, and if it's okay to talk about consolidating schools here in Pierre, that we take a look at ourselves, take a look at the man in the mirror, a little spin-off on the golden rule, if you will. We should do unto others as we would do unto ourselves. And so with that, you know, I did run some numbers. Were we to cut the legislature by 10 districts, under certain assumptions with regard to travel, we can save, well, we'd save $6,000 times 30 salaries. That'd be $180,000. Per diem, $110 times 40 days times 30 legislators. That would be, oh, plus interim, I might add. That would be $132,000. And the travel. And the assumption that I made there is that 150 miles may be roughly the distance that somebody would travel. certainly some are closer and some are farther out. But if you take make that assumption that it's 150 miles, run the numbers, one trip at 5 cents a mile, the other trips at the state rate, which is currently 37 cents a mile, that would be a savings of $27,090, and that does not include the interim travel either. So what you're looking at there is just shy of $340,000. So we could, in essence, by passing this bill, we could save the state government and thus the taxpayer a significant chunk of change. I also took a look at what that is in regard to the LRC budget, and it's about 7%. So that would be a very significant cut. Again, those are the reasons for bringing this bill forward. I guess just to have a philosophical discussion, if you will. I think I've made my points as best as I would like to. And with that, I'm not going to belabor this. I'm sure that this is a bill that many will find objectionable, if for no other reason, tradition and personal interests. So I'm not so naive as to think that there's overwhelming support, I guess. If there are any questions, I'd answer them, but otherwise I would certainly see, you know, respect the wishes of the committee if you wanted to move on into action if there are no further testifiers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Greenfield. Any other proponents for House Bill 1187? Any further proponents? Hearing none, are there any opponents for House Bill 1187? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll move into committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Representative Boomgarden.
The sponsor, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would your districts be based on population as it is now?
Thank you, Representative Boomgarden, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is how we are demanded to do it, according to a Supreme Court decision, in fact, the one man, one vote principle. So, yes, all the districts would, again, be based on population. Single-member Senate districts under the current law, dual-member House districts, if you will. But yes, that is as has been handed down from the Supreme Court. Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, we'll move into committee comment and or action. Representative Rausch.
Mr. Chair, I would move to 41st day.
Second.
Motion by Rausch, second by Turbeville, that we defer House Bill 1187 to the 41st legislative day. Any further comment, Representative Rausch?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank Representative Greenfield for continuing to think about the problems we have fiscally for our state. It's just another, I think, a good example of of we're all turning over every rock and trying to find additional solutions. However, I think with the sparsity of our state, the 35 districts is something that we should keep, especially as we get into the more rural parts of the state. The size of the districts would be dramatically larger with only 25 districts. So I think the representation is best served with 35, and I would ask the committee to support my motion.
Any further comments? Representative Feinstein.
Mr. Chair, I too respect what Representative Greenfield has brought for us today and the symbolic nature of that, and symbolism is important. I too support the motion to move this to the 41st day, but just a couple comments. We are a citizen legislature, and by cutting down the citizen input, I think we would greatly be harming what we're doing. We do have a three-branch system here, and by making the legislature less powerful, I think it just erodes power the legislative branch has. And I also go to point out to in this very room last Thursday, the Professor Emeritus Ralph Brown, the economist, said that we should be over this hump by 2010 or at least by 2011, and that's when this would even go into effect. And I guess I contend that that any savings might be after the fact, and I think what we have to do is look at our savings now and try to figure that out, and that's what this legislator is charged with doing this session, and I think that's our charge. I urge you to support this motion.
Further comments? Representative Steele.
Just a tidbit of information, and again, the thought is good that Representative Brock is bringing here. New Hampshire has 435 state representatives. We're not doing too bad.
Further comments? Seeing none, the motion on the floor is to defer House Bill 1187 to the 41st legislative day. All in favor of the motion will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Boomgarden.
Nay.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
No.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Rausch.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Nome.
No.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 yes and 3 no.
House Bill 1187 will be deferred to the 41st legislative day. Without the next, as I mentioned earlier, the next two bills on the agenda, we are going to defer. The chair defers House Bill 1217 until the 23rd of February. And also the chair will defer House Bill 1226 until the 18th of February, next week. With that, we will take up House Bill 1239 to create the South Dakota Boxing Commission and provide for the supervision of boxing, kickboxing, and mixed martial arts competitions and sparring exhibitions in the state. Are there any proponents for House Bill 1239? Good morning, Representative Shrimp.
First, I would like to welcome everybody here that's going to listen to this testimony, and also good morning, Mr. Speaker, and members of the committee. I should say chairman, I guess, and members of the committee.
Also, would you please, just for the record, identify yourself.
I will. I'm Dean Tramp. I'm up in District 28A in the Eagle Butte area, and I'll tell you a little bit more about myself and why this bill is being brought forward. As some of you know, I've been involved in boxing for over 50 years as an amateur, quite a few years as a fighter, plus about 30-some years of coaching. But this goes back to amateur boxing, which is controlled by Colorado Springs. The whole in the United States is controlled by Colorado Springs, so it's really a safety issue that we're concerned about here. And we've got three people that's going to testify here. We're going to, so we don't overlap each other and say the same things. I'm going to touch a little bit on amateur boxing, and then I've got a person here that's involved with professional boxing and a boxer that wants to turn professional. So with them three things, we hope we can convince the committee to pass this out. Like I said, I've been involved in for 50 years, and there's not a better sport as far as injuries and stuff in boxing. I know a lot of you don't realize that, but it is. It's a lot safer than even school sports because everything is regulated, weight and age, and all the way down the line, how many fights you've had. I'm president of the South Dakota Boxing Association, and I pretty much go to every match to see that everything's done just right, that you don't get a big guy fighting a little guy and vice versa and all that. So it's really a safe sport, and this was brought up 2 years in a row, and both times it's been defeated. Now I say the third time's a charm, so we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's kind of where my standpoint is on it. And we're going to have two more people testify, and then we'll be open for questions or whatever when the time comes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Trump. Are there any further proponents for House Bill 1239? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tony Kilmer. I am a professional boxer for the last year. I've been boxing for around 17 years, 8-time Golden Glove champion, 7-time state USA champion, with dreams of actually trying to go somewhere with this. And the reason I've been halted is because, you know, there is no regulations here. I've had one match in a year. If I go to have a match somewhere, if I go and fight somewhere, I have to go to another state. And I'm married. I got 3 kids. It takes time away from my family. it's just time that I'd rather have with my family. It's hard to find a match because we got to call. We got to go to other states. We got to look around. What was I going to say? You know, I've been asked, even in the MMA sports, they've asked me to do that around here, and I just don't feel safe because I've seen things that there's no regulations. People that fight each other, that there's too much weight discrepancy, experience, things that I wouldn't feel safe doing. You know, I run a gym myself too, so I do some coaching in the Belle Fourche area, trying to work with kids and help them stay off the streets and things like that too. So, and I would like them to know that, hey, there is a future here for you after your amateur career is over. And that's hard to do because I usually have to say, hey, you're probably going to have to go to another state, you know. And as a coach, I would like to say, hey, you can stay here, and I'll take you wherever we need to go. And to know that my fighters are protected, you know, because really, you know, there's nothing here. And there is athletes here that can go somewhere and do something if they knew that there was a future here for them, you know. As a fighter myself, I would like to go somewhere too. I have people that would love to come watch me box in the state of South Dakota, but they're not going to travel so many hundreds of miles to go watch me in another state. That kind of puts a damper on me. I don't have the hometown crowd. I got to go somewhere else and go and fight in their hometown crowd. And the big deal is, you know, the safety part. It is the safety part. You know, amateur boxing, pro boxing, it's the only sport that I know of that you're checked out by a doctor before and after, you know, to make sure that you're okay. And I guess that's all I have to say.
Very good. Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1239? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name's Mike Kilmer. I've been working on this bill for 3 years now. I have a little over 40 years of experience in the field, and I do both professional boxing and amateur boxing. I manage, promote, and train fighters. We have here in South Dakota absolutely no regulations or sanctioning of any professional bouts, and in order to put on a bout, we have to bring in a commission from another state. They have basically told us from the other states they won't come back in anymore, that we need to establish our own. There was currently or recently a production put on in Sioux Falls where they brought in the ABC, which is the commission that regulates all boxing commissions or the federal mandates and that. And they were made to get a liability insurance policy against the ABC, which is the commission that came in, for $20 million, which cost them $20,000 per day premium. This makes it not feasible to put on a match whatsoever. There's also tons of these barroom brawls and tough man contests and MMA events that have no sanctioning or no regulations whatsoever, and things are done that aren't in the best interest and welfare of any of the athletes or the people that are putting it on. There's only four states in the United States that currently don't have a commission, and we happen to be one of them. And so we can't get any events like HBO or Showtime because they won't even come around. We can't get the UFC to come in, and because they want a state commission to regulate what's going on. The whole bill is a revenue neutral bill. There is no funding from the state being asked for or expected. This bill will support itself through the fees and the licensing that will be mandated to all the fighters that come in. The Muhammad Ali Act currently requires insurances by the promoter for the athlete and the venue. It covers everybody that's at the event so that they're covered. And that's already done through the Muhammad Ali Act. So the sanction or the regulations through the federal laws will make sure that that's all covered and took care of. The rules and regulations will be quite, I'd say, simple, but to adopt from the other states that already have it. They're all basically same, and you can add or subtract whatever regulations you need to for your own state to make everybody comfortable. But again, this is a revenue neutral bill. This is not a bill that will cost, or we're not asking for any funding whatsoever. I personally volunteered to help out with it through the first period of time. Hopefully it does come into effect where the funding establishes a fund that will help pay for expenses such as administrative costs and motel bills or things that would come up like that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1239? Any further proponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll open for opponent testimony to House Bill 1239. Any opponents to 1239? Seeing none, we'll open to committee questions. Representative Gosh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for one of the proponents, whoever may answer this. In Sturgis during the bike rally, they have some of those old kind of like tough man contest, kind of mixed martial arts kind of thing. If this bill passed, would those still be allowed? Would they have to be sanctioned? Would it increase their costs?
The events do take place. There's two or three that I'm aware of take place in that, and there's also one that goes on in Rapid City on a monthly basis. Those events would be required to have the commission come in and oversee and make sure that the safety and welfare is being looked after of all those. There would be a cost. It would be the way the bill is presented is 1% for their gross sales of that day or that event. And then, of course, all the athletes have to be federally licensed along with being state licensed. So that keeps them from fighting at one event and walking over to another event and fighting again when they're not ready. They've already taken, you know, the concussions and the things that have been established, and you sure don't want them to run over there and get more without, you know, doing it. Most states mandate 7 days in between a fight, so they wouldn't be able to just fight at one place and walk over the same day and fight at another one and risk their safety of being hurt, and nobody would know. So that is the reason for this, is those regulations will protect and make the event safer for everybody.
Representative Gosch.
Question about the fees that would be assessed on the fighters and on the events. Would that cover all of the commission's costs? You know, of course, this is a year where if something's going to cost the state money, if something's going to come out of the general fund, it's not a good year to bring it. And so I'm inclined to support this bill, I think, but if it's going to cost the state some money, then I'm not. So will the fees cover all your costs?
Yes, sir.
What if and they don't? Then how do you fill in the gap?
Well, I know that myself and other people, the time element will be involved. I'm in a position that I have the time and stuff that I can go and oversee these. I have talked with several other people that I know are qualified to do that. The expenses would, I also am a computer programmer, and we would develop the programming to do the licensing and the, so there's really a minimal amount. Those fees should more than cover it. If they don't cover it enough the first year and we feel that there's a need the second year, we would ask for an increase in that percentage of the revenue, gross revenue from those places, and to bring that up to where it would cover what we needed to.
Thank you. Further questions, Representative Turbeville.
Thank you. As I look through the bill, I don't see anything in there other than making this a law, but what are the enforcement procedures? If I put together a match in my bar or something like that, how do you, number one, how are you aware that this is happening? And secondly, how do you go in there and enforce this, and what are the penalties if I don't go along with you?
The federal law would, with the Muhammad Ali Act, would make these people become registered, also have a federal ID, and they would be banned from boxing anywhere else or mixed martial arts in events in any other state also, if they were to not follow through with the licensing and the mandating.
Further questions, Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 2, where it starts on line 8, I believe that's the fee you're talking about. However, no fee established pursuant of this subdivision may exceed 1% of the gross revenues. Is that the fee you were talking about that may have to be changed? And how did you come to that conclusion? How did you decide on 1%?
You know, we looked at all of the, or several of the other states, and how theirs was written it up. And they have paid representatives that are in the state doing it, and their assessment fees are from 3 to 5% in the highest one. We just, with the volunteer work at this point in time, figured that 1% would cover the fees amount that we have going on currently. We wouldn't be representing every event, because it's a little farther on in that bill, you read where it says we don't do high schools or amateur events that are actually have a current amateur status that established already. So it would only be the professional end of it where they're paying people and their definitions as to what is professional amateur.
Further questions? Follow-up, Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You were saying something about wanting to change that, but that if that's in this bill, you're not going to be able to just change it.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that we would be good for sure for the first year. And if we felt that we needed more, we would come back and ask if that's a possibility.
Representative Humnoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, do you have a copy of the bill in front of you?
I do.
On page 2, line 8, you say that the fee shall be used to pay for the expenses of the South Dakota Boxing Commission. And then go down to line 14, and you say that the fund may be used to pay for the administration of this act and for the compensation and expenses of the members of the South Dakota Boxing Commission. I'm not sure that we have very many commissions in state government where we compensate the members, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, and I'd be curious to know if anybody on the committee also has a...
Well, I believe the compensation would be per diems for motel or food expenses, having to travel there. At this point, that's only if the fund is established there that we can use. If not, then it would be just out of volunteer.
Follow-up, Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So if we deleted out the words for the compensation, you wouldn't have any problem?
I would have no problem
left
with that.
In the word expenses.
Correct.
Thank you.
For any further questions? Yes, I would have one. Is South Dakota unusual in the fact that we don't have a commission? Do most states have, or is this kind of a 50-50 thing, or how many states have?
No, sir. There's only four states in the United States that do not have a commission. All of the other ones have established it, and, you know, we're also one of the four that can't have professional events and ones that are going on all over with no regulations whatsoever.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Top of the bill, you mentioned we're talking about boxing, kickboxing, and mixed martial arts. Do all of these commissions allow all three of those? Do some of them restrict some of those things, like they don't allow kickboxing or something like that in their state? Is there any restrictions in the other commissions, other states?
You know, the majority. I can't tell you every state because I personally don't know, but the majority of them cover those three, and very many of them also add professional wrestling.
Very good. Thank you, sir. With that, we'll move to committee comment and or action. Representative Turberville.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to pass on House Bill 1239.
Motion by Turberville, second by Ingalls, that with due pass in House Bill 1239. Are there any further comments? Representative Turberville.
Thank you. Well, I know that this bill has been around before, and I think that its time has come. We are in a position now where I think we need to regulate these matches. I know in my community of Deadwood in the past couple of years, we have had boxing matches, we've had mixed martial arts competition. They're becoming more popular around the state, they're well attended, and so far we've been very fortunate without having a commission that nothing serious has happened. But it's time that we started to regulate these, and I fully support it. I think it's a sport that needs a little oversight, and this is the way to do it. So I would urge that you all join me in a favorable vote on 1239. Thank you.
For the comments, Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Help me with the parliamentary procedure, but could I make a substitute motion to amend?
Or you could just offer an amendment as well, I believe. It would, I guess. Yes, substitute motion to amend. What is your motion?
Mr. Chairman, on page 2, line 14, I would move that we delete the words, the compensation and.
So then line 14 would read, appropriated to pay for the administration of this act and for the expenses of members, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Second by Representative Lucas for the comments. Representative Hunhoff.
I don't think it's necessary. Pretty clear, I think.
Very good. Any other comments? Hearing none, the motion is to send House Bill 1239. Well, you made a substitute motion.
To amend.
All right. So I thought it was a due pass with the amendment. All right. We'll vote first on the amendment. Is everyone clear on the amendment? Any questions on that, what it does? Hearing none, all in favor of the amendment will signify it by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. With that, we'll refer to the previous motion to send House Bill 1239 to the floor as amended. Any further comments on that? Representative Ingalls.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a big boxing fan, and back in the 80s and 90s, there was a light heavyweight boxer named Virgil Hill from North Dakota, and he was the light heavyweight WBA champion for over 8 years,
and he had a number of title defenses in North Dakota. And how exciting would that be if we could get some top-level competitors here in South Dakota and see those matches right here at home?
Further comments? Representative Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've had the opportunity to see some youth boxing matches set up by Representative Schramm down in my corner of the state, and I just think more activities that we can get for youth in South Dakota and more ways we can find to encourage youth, and I think particularly boxing. I think boxing brings in youth from areas and communities that might not otherwise have a wide variety of activities, so I just really think this could be a positive thing if it's done correctly, and I think the Representative Schramm will be right there making sure it's done correctly, so I'd urge your support of the bill.
Further comments? Seeing none, the motion on the floor is to send House Bill 1239 as amended to the House floor with the due pass recommendation. All in favor of the motion will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Boomgarten.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Rausch.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
House Bill 1239, as amended, will go to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. With that, we will take up proponent testimony on House Bill 1233 to revise certain provisions regarding the campaign finance reporting of the expenditures of certain organizations. Are there any proponents for House Bill 1233? Good morning, Representative Pitts.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. And honorable members of the committee, I am Representative Carol Pitts from District 7, which includes Brookings, Vaughan, and Sinai. I bring you this morning House Bill 1233, which is to revise provisions regarding the campaign financing reporting of certain organizations. I'll be brief this morning because I know we other have other proponents, but what I'd like to do first of all is take you to the very baseline of this particular bill, 1233. If we could turn to the bill and on lines 10, 11, and 12, it's merely one sentence. Any organization making expenditures equal to or exceeding 50% of the organization's annual income for the adoption or defeat of a ballot measure is a ballot question committee. While it's legal for businesses and organizations to contribute to a ballot question committee, there are reporting requirements so that voters can know who is funding the debate. House Bill 1233 is a simple but potentially effective way to stop the practice of creating a group that doesn't have to report. This bill will make it clear that if any organization uses a majority of its funds in any given year to support or oppose a ballot issue, then they are by definition a ballot question committee. This imposes on this group the same reporting requirements and penalties as all ballot question committees, including penalties if they fail to follow the requirements. You will hear support this morning from other proponents that have been involved in some of these recent campaigns. This bill is not a cure-all to avoid reporting, what's a step in the right direction. It's time for this type of bill, and I would encourage your support. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to further proponents. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Pitts. Further proponents for House Bill 1233. Good morning, Mr. Owen.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. With the chair's permission, we have a handout for the committee being handed out. During the campaign season that we just completed, we saw two initiative campaigns that were literally funded from single groups. One of them created in South Dakota, the other one actually located outside South Dakota. The one that a group of us were most familiar with was the Initiative 10, which started out to be the Open and Clean Government, ironically enough. We were successful in relabeling it the gag law and defeating it, and I want to use that as an example of why we are bringing this forward. We're increasingly seeing this. I think it's making a mockery out of the intent of our laws about reporting and where we get the money. If you all have the handout in front of you, let's start with initiative number 10. A group was created here in South Dakota called the Conservative Action Council. You have in front of you a summary that was prepared by our partners at the South Dakota Education Association. It's not a sentence the state chamber guy says very often. And goes through the reporting that the Conservative Action Council and the whole campaign. I'm going to first direct you to the bottom where it will show you that the SDCAC was 98% of the funding for the Yes on 10 committee. The Americans for Tax Reform provided $10,000 and was reported as such. They're a national group. And then from individuals, they had $4,115, or about a half a percent. Here's what's interesting. During the campaign, we challenged them to tell us where they were getting their money, the Conservative Action Council. They insisted that the person or persons who were giving them money wanted to be anonymous because they were afraid of retribution. If you will turn to page 3, I'm going to skip over page 2 for right now, which means I put the packets together in the wrong order. If you look at page 3, you'll see one of their sheets for the Yes on 10 campaign. This is an early report that shows about 45,200 of Conservative Action Council. This is the group that needs to be protected and needs to be anonymous for retribution. And you'll notice that everyone else in the world, they gave up even though they didn't have to. You don't have to report contributions of less than $100, and they're coughing up everybody that gave a dollar or 61 cents. Which to me just adds to the mockery that they're making in this. What we're simply trying to do is say groups like the Conservative Action Council, if they've spent more than half of their money, need to tell us where they got their money so that this can't be used as a ruse in campaigns. If you'll now return to page 2, when it comes to nonprofit organizations, we have a public way of knowing this. It's called their 990 tax return, and it's a public tax return. And what you have is the 2007, or at least one page of it, from the Conservative Action Council, it shows that their 2007 money was $110,000. If you return to page 1, you'll notice at year end, between in-kind contributions and direct cash, they had given $56,000 to the Yes on 10 campaign. The last two pages of your packet are simply the Yes on 9 campaign. This was the Securities Act, or also known, and I hesitate to say this in polite company, as the Naked Short Selling Bill. It was entirely funded by the American Entrepreneurs for Security Reform, an LLC out of Union, Missouri. The first report there is $158,000, followed by their year-end report, an additional $105,000. The thing that keeps this from being an airtight solution is it all depends on whether we can prove that it's half of their money. But for the Conservative Action Council to claim that it's South Dakota money and not tell us where it came from for an entire campaign, as I said often during that campaign, makes a mockery of our laws. This is intended to try to straighten some of that up. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents for House Bill 1233. Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chris Nelson, Secretary of State, and I rise this morning to support Representative Pitts in her efforts to further refine our campaign finance laws. Very briefly, the current campaign finance law defines who is and is not a ballot question committee, and it uses as that definition whether or not that organization, that entity, collected or received the money for the purpose of influencing the ballot question. And what we are finding in some of the groups that that David Owen mentioned is that they are hiding behind the supposed fact that they didn't collect the money that they are using for the purpose of influencing the ballot question, and therefore telling us that they do not need to report where the money came from. And so we are not doing away with that existing definition. That's a good definition, but what this bill does is provides more of a bright line saying, you know, if you're over that 50% of the money that your organization handles in a year, you're a ballot question committee, whether or not you collected it for that purpose or not. And so I see this as an addition to our existing statutes, and I think providing that bright line is good. You know, obviously then we get to the point of, you know, can we prove it? Can we prove that they're over the 50%? The 990 that was referred to is a tool that we can use in evaluating that. And so with that, I would ask that you support the bill and answer questions when appropriate, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents for House Bill 1233. Morning, Mr. Dean.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Greg Dean. I'm the Director of Industry Relations for the South Dakota Telecommunications Association. Our group has had some experience working with ballot issues in the last several election cycles. To be very brief, Mr. Chairman, Representative Pitts alluded to the fact that this is a small step, and I believe it is a small step, but it is a good step forward. It in some ways goes in concert with a bill that was in front of this committee last week, HB 1184, that provided the intent of 1184 was basically to provide voters and petition signers with additional information, and that is in essence what I think this bill does as well. I will leave you with one thought, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Campaign money is like water. It flows through the path of least resistance, and if we do not at least put up some sort of a dike or begin to plug a hole, it will continue to flow towards the path of least resistance. This is a move towards that, towards plugging that hole. It is a good step, and I would ask your passage of 1233. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents, House Bill 1233. Morning, Ms. Taylor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. For all of the reasons stated before, we do support this bill. We think it's very much a common sense measure, and we would urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. For the proponents. Good morning, Mr. Lyons.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Sean Lyons, South Dakota Retailers Association. Without the obligatory Me Too, I would just tell you that in terms of representing small businesses, a lot of times they have, frankly, a hard time rubbing two pennies together to contribute to political action committees or to campaigns. And so when we talk to our members about campaign issues and getting involved, one of the biggest questions they had to me last year was, where is the other side getting their money from? And I would tell you that we think this is a good step forward that at least identifies those people that small businesses are trying to understand, who's trying to change our democratic process. This will bring a little bit more sunshine to that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. For the proponents for House Bill 1233. And for the proponents. Somebody forget to give Weller the wake-up call? Seeing none, any opponents to House Bill 1233? Any opponents to 1233? Seeing none, we'll close to committee questions. Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for Secretary Nelson. Recognizing the difficulty to prove whether or not, the committee is over 50% of their annual income, where you'd have to cross-reference their tax reports, would it be simpler just to put a dollar amount, like $10,000, that any campaign committee reporting over that would have to report where their sources come from?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, certainly that would be simpler. Would that require some organizations, perhaps large organizations that spend, you know, many millions of dollars as part of their organization? Think a corporation. If a large corporation is involved and decides that they're going to spend $12,000 and contribute it to a ballot question committee, under that scenario, all of a sudden that corporation would have to disclose all of their funding for every purpose that that corporation is involved in. And so would that be simpler? Yes, but I think there'd be a lot of unintended consequences with that.
Further questions? Very good. Hearing none, we'll move to committee comment and or action. Representative Noem.
Mr. Chair, I'd move due pass.
Second. Motion by Noem, second by Rave for due pass on House Bill 1233. Further comments, Representative Noem.
Just a couple. I would like to thank Representative Pitts and all the proponents for this measure. I think there has been a lot of confusion in the past and a lot of clarity is needed to this situation so that we can clear up outside influences and make sure that the things that reach our ballots here in South Dakota come in the best interests of the people of South Dakota. So I would ask you to support the motion.
Further comments? Hearing none, the motion before us is to send House Bill 1233 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. All in favor of the motion will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Bumgarden.
Aye.
Ingalls.
Aye.
Feinstein.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Lust.
Aye.
Rausch.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Turberville.
Aye.
Noem.
Aye.
Fain.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
House Bill 1233 will be sent to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. With that, we've completed our agenda for this meeting. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by somebody and seconded by somebody else. Turberville and Gosch, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We are adjourned.